Well, well, well. How the turntables. After thinking the Yankee season was over in July, the Bronx Bombers have bounced back in a huge way. They are now 17 games over 500 and have captured the top spot in the American League wild card standings. How did they do it? They capped it off with a recent 3-game sweep over the Boston Red Sox, and we're going to talk about it on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. It is a fun time in Yankee land. The Yankees are red hot. 6 straight wins, a season high, have won 13 of their last 16. 18 of their last 23. That's dating back to the last time they lost a series to the Boston Red Sox. A series in which I know for myself, I was thinking, man, could this season get any worse? On July 4th, this team was a 500 ball club. Ever since, they have been the hottest team in baseball, going 28-11 over that span. They are now in the first spot in the American League wildcard standings. They're trying to creep up on the Tampa Bay Rays, who are playing great baseball at this point, but they're back in the mix. There's a different energy with this team, and it's exciting to watch. How did they cap off the most recent stretch? By sweeping the Boston Red Sox. Now remember, this is the same Red Sox team that won the first 7 games of this series this year. The Yankees, ever since, have won 6 of the last 9. So they're taking care of business. They're winning series. They're doing what they have to do. And there's just an amazing energy around this ball club. And there's a lot that we're going to talk about in this show. Number one, Yankees had a 1-game little set with the Angels. Gerrit Cole returned to the mound. And then, of course, the 3-game set with the Red Sox over 2 days. Remember, the first 2 games were played as a day-night doubleheader on Tuesday. So you did have shortened games. However, the Yankees got the job done. They're getting the job done, and we need you to get the job done as well. You found our show on whatever podcasting platform you listen on, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio. Now we need you to take it another step further. Subscribe to the show to get all the latest updates regarding our show, and make sure if your feed has it available, comment and rate and review the show as well. Helps us generate more interest in our show. All your feedback is definitely appreciated. And of course, you can follow us on social media, on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. It's a fun time to be on Yankees Twitter. Make sure you check out our page, and on Facebook by looking up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we are a proud member of the Delahanty Media brand. Got some cool things coming up for you. Stay tuned. We may have a new store brand coming your way in the very near future, so make sure you check that out. I'm pretty excited about that. And of course, go to our website, DelahantyMedia.com, for all the latest news and updates regarding our brand. Got some great shows cooking through our media brand. Make sure you check them out as well. Let's start off with the Yankees' 1 game against the Angels on Monday. Remember, that was a makeup from July 1st. Gerrit Cole returned to the mound after his battle with COVID, and Cole was good. Went into the 6th inning. I kind of figured the Yankees weren't going to really stretch him out in this one through 90 pitches in general. Struck out 9, only allowed 1 run, and that run came in the first inning. It was like his normal solo home run that he allows. Justin Upton got him. Other than that, the Angels couldn't do anything. The only scoring in this game came in that first inning. Joey Gallo homered in the bottom of the first to give the Yankees a lead they would not relish. Give credit to the Yankees bullpen. Britton came in to get 1 out in the 6th. That's all the Yankees needed, trying to get his confidence back. Albert Abreu comes in. He goes 1 2/3. Really dominant outing from him. He's looked really good of late. Then they turn the ball over to Joely Rodriguez to finish off the 8th. And Chad Green comes in for his 4th save of the season in the 9th. Yankees go on to win that 2-1. And that's what they really have to do in those type of situations. Win the games against teams that you're clearly better than, and just find a way to keep bringing home wins. Obviously, this wasn't a series, so you're looking at it in a perspective of, you know, it's a 1-game kind of matchup. just go out and win it. Yankees offense really didn't do much, but in general, they were able to go out and get the victory. Now, the schedule didn't really pan out in their favor. They were supposed to have an off day on Monday, had to play the Angels, and then, of course, they were supposed to play one game against the Red Sox. It was supposed to be a two-game set, ended up being three because of a doubleheader. Game one was a makeup from July 15th, and this one was nail-biting, to say the least. Yankees go on to win it 5-3. They get more reinforcements back as Jordan Montgomery comes back. He pitches into the fifth inning. Once again, kind of like Cole, I didn't expect them to really overexert Montgomery in his first start back. Remember, he didn't make a rehab start or anything like that. He goes into the fifth inning, and in a shorter game, it was like he pitched into the sixth or seventh inning, considering that it's shorter. So I was happy with Montgomery. He let up a couple of runs. I wouldn't say he was fully sharp. I didn't expect him to be fully sharp, but he was able to get the job done. Albert Abreu comes in for the second straight day, gets out of the fifth inning, and then Jonathan Loaisiga comes on to pitch the sixth and the seventh. A move that I really loved, considering, you know, he pitched a clean sixth. Aaron Boone had confidence in him to pitch the seventh. He did load the bases. It's the reason why I'm going to have gray hair before I'm 35. But nonetheless, Loaisiga simply battled in that seventh inning. And I always get confused because I'm always thinking it's a nine-inning game. But nonetheless, he was able to get out of it. No damage done. Two big strikeouts to end the game. He got Kike Hernandez and then Hunter Renfro. It's not a situation that the Yankees wanted him to be in. His pitch count did have to go up a little bit. But he got the job done. Yankees get a big game one against the Red Sox. That one was 5-3. And now you're going into the nightcap and you're looking for that sweep because the way the momentum was shifting, the Red Sox haven't been playing good baseball, but the Yankees have. So you want to keep building that momentum. And they turn the ball over to Luis Gil, who we've talked about. He's been great over his first two starts. Once again, the kid was really, really good. He goes into the fifth inning, and remember, shortened game, you can get away with your starter not going so deep into the game. He only threw 71 pitches. I think that Aaron Boone knew when his limit was up and said, you know what, I'm going to go to the bullpen. I got a couple of guys who are throwing the ball well. I'm not going to take any chances here with Gil, and I'm going to let him go out on a positive note, and that's what he did. He once again did not allow a run. With that, he becomes the first major league pitcher in the modern era to throw at least 4 2/3 scoreless innings throughout his first three overall appearances. The kid's been awesome. And he's been racking up the strikeouts as well. He's the first pitcher in the modern era, which takes you back to 1900, with 18 or more strikeouts and no runs allowed throughout his first three major league games. The kid's been really good. And the way you have to look at it is the Yankees have some of their reinforcements coming back. Corey Kluber, Clark Schmidt possibly. They have to find a way to keep him in the rotation. That's how good this kid has been. He has come up. He has done the job. They need to find a way to capitalize and keep him with the big league club. Ride this kid's arm until they simply can't ride it anymore. Let him keep going. I really want to see him every fifth day. I hope that they find a way to keep him in the rotation because he has deserved it, and he definitely showed over his first three outings that he's here and he wants to earn a spot with this Yankees team. And give credit to the Yankees bullpen in game two. Peralta comes in for an inning in the third, let up a couple of hits, didn't let up any runs. Green comes on for the seventh, he ends the game and holds the Yankees shutout. Simply, the Yankees benefited from the long ball in this one. Luke Voit homered to right in the second inning, and Giancarlo Stanton in the bottom of the fourth hit an absolute moonshot 441 feet to give the Yankees a 2-0 lead, a lead that they simply wouldn't relish. Now, Stanton's homer, his 331st of his career, ties him with Hank Greenberg and Derek Lee for 111th all-time, and his 45th home run of 440 feet or more in the StatCast era, which goes back to 2015. He has 45 of those. The next closest is Nelson Cruz with 34. The next closest to that is his current teammate, Joey Gallo, who has 31. So Stanton, when he hits home runs, a lot of them definitely aren't cheap ones. Now, while we're talking about impact players from Game 2, let's talk about Luke Voit. Voit, who obviously we all know got replaced by Anthony Rizzo for the most part, he is battling for at-bats, knowing that Rizzo was about to come back. Rizzo was activated before Game 3 of the series. Now, here's what Voit had to say, and this comment really sparked up people on social media, and I want to give my feedback on it. Here's what Voit had to say when he was asked about Rizzo returning soon, and I quote, "I was top 10 in Major League MVP voting last year, and I've been a great player for this organization for the last 3 years. I'm not going down. I want to play. I know it's going to be tough with Rizzo, but I deserve to play just as much as he does." Now, I agree with him. I understand where he's coming from. Number one, he was one of the best players in the game last year. The guy has been great since the Yankees have gotten him. Now, let's look at where he ranks in the American League since 2018 when he took over as the Yankees' first baseman. He's 8th in OPS. He's 8th in at-bats per home run, or home runs per at-bat. And he's 7th with RBIs by at-bats. So, the guy has been good. He's been productive. Now, he's no Anthony Rizzo. I'm going to lay that flat on the line. He's no Anthony Rizzo. Why? Rizzo's a game changer. Number one, left-handed bat. Really balances the Yankees lineup a lot better. Two, puts the ball in play. Three, much better defensively. You feel very secure with Anthony Rizzo at first base. I can't say the same about Luke Voit. Now, would it have been ideal if they could have traded him? Obviously, if they could have got something back for him at the deadline, it would have made sense. But they're in a pickle right now. And it's up to Aaron Boone and the front office to figure out how they're going to handle it. From Boone's comments, Boone makes it seem like Voit is a big part of this team. And the only way that this works out, there are at-bats for everybody to go around. The problem is going to be when they become fully healthy. Let's look at it right now. Voit will get a couple of days to DH a week. Maybe play a day at first base or two, depending on who's pitching and if Rizzo needs a breather. Now, you could play Giancarlo Stanton in right field and move Aaron Judge and Joey Gallo to center. Let them handle that responsibility for a day or two. I could see them trying to rely on Stanton in the field more. I would love to see it. I think that it helps Stanton. When Stanton plays the field, it just seems like he's more locked in at the plate, and that's something the Yankees could definitely use. You know, I wouldn't put Stanton in left field for an extended period of time. I'd rather see Gallo out there. I think that defensively, you have a better option out there in Gallo, and Judge and Gallo most certainly could handle center field, but there are ways to mix and match, especially down the stretch when you're trying to keep everybody healthy and you're trying to keep everybody locked in. There are going to be at-bats to go around. The issue is going to be when Gio Urshela and Gleyber Torres come back. With the way that Andrew Velasquez and Tyler Wade are playing, and I'm going to talk about Velasquez in a little bit, the way they're playing, you can make the case that the Yankees are better off with them at shortstop right now than they are with Gleyber Torres. You can make the case that once Gleyber comes back, he's a candidate to be optioned to the minor leagues. As scary as it could be, the guy hit 38 homers just a couple of years ago, but I feel so much more secure with Velasquez or Wade at shortstop. And I think that with the construction of the lineup currently, and when you bring Gio back, I could make the case that they're better with a defensive-minded shortstop. This lineup is built to score runs. They can handle if Velasquez or Wade get into a slump. They have enough bats to do so. I want to see what these guys are able to do. Now, of course, a lot could change from the time Glaver's going to be ready to come back till now. It seems like he's still a little bit of a ways off. And of course, Urshela, we don't know what the deal is with him, if he's going to even come back 100%. But if you're the Yankees, you have to strongly consider it, especially given the spark that both players have given over the last couple of weeks. I say ride him until they cool off and then reevaluate. And hopefully, you know, they could stay hot and be a contributing factor, because I love having that defensive soundness at shortstop. I think it's so vital, and it's something that Gleyber doesn't give you. So I think they have a lot of questions coming up, and Voit's around that. You know, the minute that Voit starts to struggle and they give him at bats on a regular basis, you're going to hear the boos. You're going to hear the frustration. Voit's going to try to do too much, and it could be a toxic situation. I don't think it's going to affect the clubhouse. I think they have too many guys that are just driven to win, and I don't think it's going to be an issue with Rizzo, because the way Rizzo is, he wants to win. So he's a guy that I don't think is going to let it bother him. But I do think that if Voit starts to struggle early in this new situation, it's going to be ugly for the Yankees all around. But hopefully that doesn't become the case. And, you know, you hope that everybody could take advantage of the at-bats that they do get. You got to get Rougi Odor into the lineup. You got to get Voit in the lineup. You got to keep Stanton healthy and fresh. Obviously, you got your big boppers. So I do think that a lot of how the Yankees season is going to go for the remainder of it is going to be dictated by how they construct the lineup and just how they're able to keep everybody fresh and going. You know, we know how the Yankees are. They're an injury waiting to happen. So having too much depth, I think, is a good problem to have. And remember, the rosters do expand in September. So it may just be for the next couple of weeks that they have to mix and match, because for the last month, they'll have a little more reinforcements that they could use to their advantage. But right now, the way that this team is rolling, I wouldn't be surprised if they make some tough decisions. Maybe optioning Voit. You know, optioning Torres may be an option. It's scary to think about that Gleyber has kind of fell off like that. You don't want to say that the injury caused it, but the way these guys are playing, you could strongly make the case that they're better with the way that they're currently operating. So it's an interesting dynamic, and I lose sleep thinking about it, you know. That's just how I am. But I'm excited to see how it works out. And of course, got a lot of baseball left to be played. And speaking of baseball, Yankees go into game 3 of this series looking for a sweep. Now, I would be lying if I said to you I had confidence in this game. Andrew Heaney on the mound, we all saw how bad he was, historically bad he was in his first 3 starts with the club, acquired prior to the trade deadline. And, you know, he was great in this one. I owe him an apology and a lot of credit, because the guy was really, really good. Let up a home run in the first inning to Bogarts, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh boy, here we go again. Buckle up. But he settled down. Pitched 7 strong innings. After 6, I thought he was done. I thought Aaron Boone was going to go to the pen, but he came out for the 7th, got the job done. The Yankees gave him plenty of offense. Second inning with Nick Pivetta on the mound, Yankees score 4 runs. Gardner sack fly, followed by a Velasquez single. Gotta love what this kid's doing. And then a Rizzo infield single scoring 2. That was a rocket down the line. And then later in the 8th, the Yankees score another run on a Velasquez single. This kid's been really good, like I mentioned. Yankees go to Britton in the 8th. He was lights out. Arguably his best inning of work in a very long time. And then Aaron Boone went to Aroldis Chapman, who was activated off the injured list. In a non-save situation, Chapman was not good. He ends up going to Lucas Licky to close out the game. And let's take you back a little bit, because this is very interesting. Lucas Licky, 45 appearances so far in 2021. I would have never thought that would have been the case at the beginning of the year. His first major league save that he recorded since August 21st, 2012. Now, today's August 19th when we're recording this. That was 3,284 days ago. That's a pretty crazy stat, if you ask me. And, of course, 9 years between. And the game, it was a little sticky at the end. Licky comes in. He had a tough situation to work with, first and third. Ground ball into the hole. Velasquez makes one heck of a play. A beautiful scoop by Rizzo. Just gets the runner in time. And the Yankees complete the sweep. Now, since Licky's last save, I find this hilarious. 653 pitchers have recorded a save since then. So, good for him. He has really found a home in this Yankees bullpen. Aaron Boone has used him in so many different situations this year. Long relief, high leverage, low leverage, and he just seems to get the job done. If you would have told me at the beginning of the year that he would be a staple in this bullpen, I probably would have laughed at you, but nonetheless, he's been great, and the Yankees have been very lucky to have found this diamond in the rough. Let's go back to Heaney for a second. Yankees have a handful of starts of 7 innings or more with no or 1 run allowed. Gerrit Cole has 5. Domingo Germán has 3. Corey Kluber has 2. Then you have 1 from Montgomery, one from Tyone, and one from Heaney. So he joins that club. I think that this game alone was a way for Heaney to really rewrite the script of what we've seen from him. Has let up a lot of runs, a lot of home runs, really has struggled. But in this game, he came in focused. And that's what the Yankees needed. They needed him to come out and give them some quality outings. And it was really good for the bullpen, considering that they've been so taxed as of late. They only needed to get two innings of work out of the pen. It was a script that the Yankees couldn't have written better. Obviously, Chapman in the ninth was a script they would have loved to have written differently. But from the starting pitching, you couldn't ask for more. And over their last 39 starts as a unit, they have a 2.88 ERA. They've allowed 3 runs or fewer in 34 of their last 39 starts, with 2 earned runs or fewer in 29 of those outings. The starting pitching, which was such a question mark, which has been such an upheaval as of late with all the injuries, has been a strong focal point for this team and has been a major reason why they've been able to get back on track. Now, obviously, we make a big deal about the reinforcements. Gary Sanchez back, Gerrit Cole back, Jordan Montgomery back, Chapman back. But one guy who has been standout for this team is Andrew Velasquez, the Bronx native. Now, you couldn't write this story better for Velasquez. Growing up in the area, living the dream of being a Yankee, you see all the pictures of him as a young kid on the field at the old Yankee Stadium. He has been really good for this team. He, over his last 7 games in general, is hitting .273. He has 4 RBIs in that span, all of which coming against the Red Sox. Now, prior to this, over his big league career, just had 3 RBIs coming in to being a Yankee. So this guy has really embraced his childhood dream and has been a really nice addition for this team. And I said it earlier, the play of him and Tyler Wade has been really, really important to this stretch. They're providing energy. They're giving this team a spark. Defensively, you just feel so much more confident when the ball's put in play. It makes a difference. It doesn't show up in the box score, but they help tremendously. And it allows the pitching staff to not be so stressed about missing on a pitch or not capitalizing in a situation because they know that their defense is going to help them out. So you got to give this kid a lot of credit. I don't know what the future holds for him. Obviously, when Urshela comes back, and possibly when Torres comes back, there are a lot of decisions that are going to be made. And guys like him are going to be considered to be optioned or whatnot. But as of now, enjoy what this kid's doing. He's enjoying playing for the Yankees. You see the video of him just fired up looking in the dugout yelling, "Let's go," after an RBI hit. You got to love what this kid's bringing to the table. And I think that Yankee fans are really embracing him as the kid from the Bronx. I hope it continues because this Yankees team has been a lot better when he's been playing the way he has. And again, credit to Tyler Wade. He's been playing good as well defensively. We talked about him last show. We're not going to get deeper into him. Now, before we wrap up, obviously, it's a jam-packed show. There's a lot of good things to talk about. We love having these good things to talk about. Since the Yankees lost the series against the Red Sox at Fenway Park, they have won their last 7 series. Tampa on the road, Miami on the road, home against Baltimore and Seattle, on the road against Kansas City, on the road against Chicago, and at home against the Red Sox. They have won 12 of their last 13 series. That's incredible. That's simply incredible. And if you count the Angels as a series, they won that one too. I don't really count that one, but nonetheless, it counts. So they've been playing the best baseball of any team in the league during this span. And to think, just a couple of weeks back, we were hitting the panic button because they were a 500 club on July 4th. But they have turned it around. It's a mix of getting healthy, getting the right reinforcements to help this team. I would not want to face this lineup right now. You're going right, left, right, left, right, left. And instead of managers being able to just say, "Oh, we're going to bring in a righty, have them rely on sliders down and away," they have to actually strategize and think about their moves before they make them. It makes the opposing manager have to think and puts the pressure on them to make the right move. So credit to everyone involved. This is not a one-person operation. The turnaround has been a little bit of everybody. Better starting pitching. The reinforcements have been tremendous. The bullpen has held its own. Yes, they've had a couple of hiccups, but for the most part, they've done the job. And the offense has quickly turned it around. So the Yankees are trying to get back in the American League East division race. And right now, they hold a spot in the American League wild card. Hopefully, their upcoming series, they could take advantage of and try to gain some more ground as the playoff stretch continues. They start that stretch with a four-game set in the Bronx against the Minnesota Twins, a series the Yankees have to win. Minnesota, under 500, underwhelming team. They are not in the mix. Got to take advantage of that. Jameson Taillon takes the mound in Game 1. He's been really good of late. Game 2 will be on Friday night. Nestor Cortez on the mound again. I can't wait for that one. I love watching Nestor pitch. And then you have a Saturday afternoon game. Gerrit Cole against Kenta Maeda. That should be a good game as well. And then another afternoon game on Sunday with Jordan Montgomery on the hill for the Yankees. And now that series will lead into a quick series on the road against the Atlanta Braves. A Braves team who has been really hot of late. But, of course, got to take care of what's ahead of you. And right now, that's the Minnesota Twins. That's all we have for today's show. Again, it's been fun watching Yankees baseball. This team has life again. And, of course, when they have life, Yankees Twitter and Yankees social media has life with it. And, of course, we love the good updates. So make sure you come back for more as we continue to provide you with the latest news and updates regarding the Bronx Bombers. Of course, if you missed earlier in the show, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show on whatever podcasting platform you listen on, and check out our social media feeds for more information regarding our show. And go to DelahantyMedia.com. Definitely won't be disappointed by checking that out. Once again, my name is Nick Delahanty, and I'm the host of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. As always, let's go Yankees. We'll talk to you really soon.